Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
As you know, we're going through all of this 2020 stuff, and Gary asked me, could I just give it a bit of a context for him, then he can just preach his heart out. Are you ready for Pastor Gary this morning? And we've been going through these things in the last few weeks, and what does it mean to be a family of believers? And the first word was generational. That's our heart for people, no matter what generation, what age group, what color of skin, what nationality, everybody's welcome. And that's our heart for people. Flowing from that is we're a people of hospitality, that we love to create an environment for people to come in where they can be secure, they can find friendship, needs can be met, and they can. It's a great context for finding out about who Jesus is. Within that context of hospitality is they find a people who are generous, people who go the extra mile, people who do the unexpected in terms of how they love people, treat people, and are with people. And then this week, coming out of being a people of generous, Pastor Gary is going to speak on what it means to be a people who encourage, because that's our language. You know, the Word of God is always encouraging, builds up and strengthens us. So let's welcome Pastor Gary as he brings the Word this morning.
Praise the Lord. I'm going to speak some words over you at the beginning as well, that when I got up this morning, I wasn't expecting to hear, and God's put some other stuff in my heart just to speak some life and break some stuff off of people. Hallelujah. So the words that we speak are very, very important. Why? Because they reflect the very attitudes of our hearts. The language we speak will shape and define the very culture, and how we actually speak. There are many different circumstances and that we all have to overcome and walk through. God's heart is always to encourage us. Why? So we can trust Him in everything and lean not on our own understanding and strength. Amen. For example, let's look at a few people, how God used encouragement to change the whole perspective and course of people's lives. Gideon was in the wine press. People give Gideon a little bit of a hard time. He was actually, although he was in the wine press, he's in this place of restriction, he was actually being fruitful because he was making some stuff for someone else. And God is speaking to someone this morning. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Amen. With you, mighty warrior. Whatever situation you're in. In Nehemiah. Nehemiah's got this fantastic challenge of building something, building the walls up in Nehemiah 4:14. And it's this amazing thing. And then Nehemiah gets God's heart. And you see, the very words that he uses are really words of life, and they're words of encouragement. And I'm going to speak these out over you. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Amen. So that breakthrough for someone today, remember that the Lord is the one that's reigning and ruling over all things. Also, for someone this morning, remember Elijah when he was in the cave, when he was being persecuted by Jezebel, and she wanted to take him out. This morning, it's time to come out of the cave. It's time to come out of intimidation and fear, because your time is today. Amen. It's time for breakthrough for you today, to come out of that place of restriction, out of that place of holding you there, as you keep your eyes on the Lord. And I just love that whole context when you read the whole story, you know, the whirlwind and everything. It's time to come out of the cave. It's time to come out of restriction. It's time to come in. And I love this one. Also, do you remember Jehoshaphat in that amazing situation in the Bible where millions and millions and millions of people were coming against him? And what happened is God sent a prophet to him, and the prophetic word was, take up positions and stand firm. See the deliverance that the Lord will give you. Amen. See the deliverance. What does it say in Ephesians? For us to stand firm. After we've done everything, to stand firm. See what God's going to do. I'm speaking it out as life for someone this morning as a place of breakthrough. Do you remember Paul? I love Paul. he's in this situation and he's got someone with a bit of a thorn in his flesh. And he's finding it really difficult. And sometimes God gives us encouraging words that we don't want to hear. And the encouraging word for someone this morning is, my grace is sufficient. My power is made perfect in weakness. Amen. Here comes now this one. I thought, no, Lord, surely not this morning. I'm going to do it anyway. Do you remember Balaam? Yeah, I think Balaam is one of the funniest stories in the Bible. Why? Here's Balaam trying to, in a sense, curse Israel and cause something, you know. For this one, you see, what he's doing, he's speaking something negative, and we're going to be looking at that a little bit later, that we shouldn't speak something negative over ourselves or over the body or over the nation or over anybody else for that matter. And you see, so Balaam's, he's on this journey, and the funniest one in Balaam, it's really, have you ever seen the film Shrek? Do you remember Shrek? Yes. You see the concept in this. You see Balaam, he's going on his donkey, and his donkey's like, the donkey sees the angel before him, he doesn't see it, and he's like, I'm going nowhere, I'm not going anywhere. And he gets really cross. And what's amazing, I just listen to this. And the Lord opened the donkey's mouth and said, what have I done to make you beat me three times? Now, that wasn't the miracle alone. What's the miracle is Balaam starts having a conversation with his donkey. Listen to this. I think this is really funny. Balaam answered the donkey, you've made a fool of me. If I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you right now. And then the donkey goes, and the donkey said, am I not your own donkey, which you have always ridden to this day? Have I been in the habit of doing this to you? No, Balaam said. If God can use a donkey, he can use us. Yes. I just love it. Can't you see that? You know, I don't know what a donkey sounds like. You know, I mean, it could be sounding like, I don't know. Am I not your donkey? When you've always ridden to this day. Have I been in the habit of doing this? I don't. What does a donkey sound like? That we don't need to be donkeys. Amen. Because we're full of life. Full. The question I'm going to say to you, is what's God's heart attitude towards you? What is he speaking over you? If you want to turn to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 and 10. This is in the New Living Translation. I'm going to be bouncing over some different translations. What is God? What does God speak over us? This is what the scripture means when we say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us the deep secrets. I've taken a quote here from Bill Johnson because it's an absolutely amazing quote, and I'm going to read it now. The Holy Spirit searches for things that have never been heard by human ears or seen by human eyes. He is the greatest search engine in the whole universe. Talk about quick and accurate. I know he's more than a search engine, he's a person. Okay. Talk about quick and accurate. He searches the greatest reservoir of information imaginable, the heart of the Father. Psalm 139:18 says that God's thoughts about us outnumber the sands on every seashore on this planet. Is that a lot or is that a lot? His very thoughts about us. And according to Jeremiah 29:11, all those thoughts are for your welfare, benefit, and blessing. Amen. God has been around a long time, and he has had a long time to think about you. He's been living in the experience of knowing you before you were even born. He doesn't just have a few random thoughts about you here and there. for trillions of years, how can you explain the eternal heart of God? For trillions of years, God has been thinking about you, and the Holy Spirit searches the whole archive and brings incredible treasures to you at precisely the right moment you need them. Amen. God's heart is immense. We talk about last, you know, the generosity of God, the greatness of God, and his thoughts about us are, we can't even count them because God is so great. We carry on reading that passage in 1 Corinthians 2. No one can know a person's thought except a person's own spirit, and no one can know God's thought except God's own spirit. And we have received God's spirit, not the spirit of the world. Amen. So we've received God's own Holy Spirit so that we can know the wonderful things that God has freely given us. When we tell you these things, listen to this. I've probably read this hundreds and hundreds of times. We do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. God wants us, and for what comes out of our hearts, to be life. Amen. To speak life, to declare life. Spiritual things coming out from us. Christ in us, the hope of glory, being revealed by the very words that we speak over ourselves, over one another, over this nation, over the government. John 16, verse 13 says, "But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will give you complete revelation of the truth. He will not speak on his own initiative, but only what he hears from the Father and the Son. And he will prepare you for what lies ahead." John 6, 63 says, "The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life." So in our culture and in our language, we want to be encouraging one another, don't we? We want to be building one another up. We want to be speaking God's word over ourselves and over each other. Words have power in the spirit realm. Yeah. They can build up and strengthen and encourage, or they can or destroy and condemn. So the words that we have, they have power in the spirit realm. We don't realize these words, the effect that they have. I'm going to talk a little bit later about some of the challenges the Lord said to me and some of my repentance that's needed to happen through what God said to me. I'm going to tell you a funny story, and it's not to make the husband look bad in this situation. It's just to explain that the power of when something is spoken in a wrong way. I've got a lovely couple that are farmers up in Yorkshire. I love them. I haven't seen them for a long while. And he had this treasure trove of stories. He used to tell me all of these stories, and they were a couple that just loved one another. They talked about all the things that they, you know, all the things that this, you know, that they said together, all the journeys they've got on together. And what happened is that can you imagine, I haven't been to Saint-Tropez. Has anybody been to where it's nice and hot? down, you know, somewhere down in France and somewhere down really beautiful and just, you know, right by the coast and everything, all the ocean and all of that kind of region. And he's walking his wife. This is, you know, like Pastor Clive and Jane have had last weekend. Walking his wife in a real romantic journey. And in his mind, okay, in his mind, when he told me this, I think I cried for about 5 minutes afterwards. Not that you're going to, it's just that I know and love this person. When in his mind, he's got this picture, and he says, "How can I express my love to my wife?" And he goes, what she is really means. And so in his mind, this is where his thinking's going. She's like a majestic, beautiful, slender yacht with the sails blowing in the wind, and she's beautiful and everything like that. And she's so gorgeous. And what came out of his mouth? He goes, "Darling." And she said, "Yes." He said, "You remind me of a battleship." Now, something happened between the head and the heart and the mouth, and it came out wrong. Do you think he was going to recover from that one lightly? What's the answer to that? No. Probably for about 3 or 4 hours, she just stormed off. I don't believe you've just said that. I don't believe you just said that. And yet in his heart, he's carrying the heart of, like, you know, trying to express it. His expression went out wrong. But you see, what am I trying to say there as an illustration? Don't call your wife a battleship. That's the first one. The second one, not going to bode well for you for the rest of, you know, the dinner's in the oven or in the dog. Thank you. Yeah. What's going to happen? It's going to happen, you see, because the words that we have power. You know, I say it in a jokey way because I don't want to, you know, say it in a sense a negative thing. But the words can create life. At that moment, it didn't create life. It created separation. It created a lot of repenting, probably about 14 bunches of flowers and everything else that went with it for the day. So we, in our culture, we're going to speak. Okay, I'll go through it again. Oh, let it come really from inside your heart there. We in our culture are going to speak.
Life.
That's better. Thank you, Jesus. Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death. And those who love it will eat its fruit. The message says, it's even stronger. Words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. Have you ever heard yourself, not that we go around taping ourselves, have you ever heard yourself speaking, you know, I'm going to have to confess my sin amongst you now, not on this occasion, but have you ever heard yourself saying, that just makes me so sick? Has anyone done that one? That just makes me so sick. And God goes, oh, does it? Yeah? Do you see how much power? I found myself the other day, and I confess to the test of leadership, but ask your forgiveness, I found myself going, that's doing my head in. That really is doing my head in. And the Lord said, really, Gary? Really? Why? Because there's power in what we say. You know, I had to confess. You know, before I come up here, I had to say, God, I'm realizing what's coming out of my mouth. If I think that something's doing my head in, I'm confessing that over my mouth, and I'm speaking it out. What's the spiritual reality? My head. That's what I'm saying. My own son, a couple of weeks ago, was really struggling he'd just done an exam, and bless him, he hadn't gone as well as he thought it had done, and I don't know what he was expecting when he came back from his dad, you know, with his dad, and he came back from school, and he walked in, just a little head down, and he told me what had happened. You know, the first thing I said to him, I said, Samuel, I said, Dad's really proud of you, because I just think, you know, I just want to know just how proud I am of you and you as a person. And the question that really, you know, that really came close to my heart, do I only bring value when things are going well? Do I only bring value to the people that I love when things are going well? Or do I bring value from what comes out of my heart? And that I could see his little heart, and his, well, he's not, he's bigger than Rachel now. He's past me now. He is past me. He's an inch past me. It was not as far as, thank you, Jesus. But he's past me. But I, you know, the words I actually spoke out, and I said, Samuel, Daddy loves you. I think you tried your hardest, darling. Why don't we just help you try, you know, just help you strengthen that area? His whole mindset, his attitude and heart just lifted, because he realized that his value wasn't caught up with how well he does. Praise God, our value isn't caught up in how well we do. Yeah? Just imagine if the Father heart of God, if our value was caught up in how well we do. Jesus loves us. Jesus speaks life over us. Jesus values us. He doesn't degrade us when we get wrong. Yes, we might have to dust, you know, what did he have to do? He had to dust it down. But he was not going to live under the cloud of a father's words that would actually pull him down. So I had to make a decision. Just a question. Do I bring worth when it goes right? Just goes right. Proverbs 4:24. Do not allow any negative words. This is from Pastor Collins, the Truth Version. Do not allow any negative words to cross your lips. Anything that contradicts the words of my mouth. Proverbs 10, verse 11. This is amazing. This is the New Living Translation. The words of the godly are a life-giving fountain. We want our words to be a life-giving fountain. Who's here is godly? Amen. Who here is born again? But they, our words, what we speak. Jesus says some kind of, some tough stuff, really. And in Matthew 12, verse 34, he says, a person speaks from the overflow of his heart. So the good man expresses the good things that flow out of the good stored up in him. The evil person expresses evil things that flow from the evil stored in him. So I tell you clearly that every man will have to give account on judgment day for every careless word he has spoken. For by your words you will be declared innocent, and by the words spoken you will be condemned. That is quite something, isn't it? With people that we have around us in our families, in our relationships, and with people that come into this church and come into the community of who we are, what we don't want is careless words.
Right.
We want words that come from a right heart and a right attitude. Why? Because we love people. We don't judge people. We don't judge people going through stuff and going through very difficult stuff. I'm just going to ask you just to turn now to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 2. And I'm going to have a heading up here in a sense for myself, but to speak this out. Encouragement will always thrive in a culture of genuine love, care and friendship. Okay? Encouragement will always thrive in a culture of genuine love, care and friendship. And 1 Thessalonians 2 says in verse 5 and 6, this is from Pastor Collins, the Truth Version. You know that we've never flattered you, nor have we used the gospel as a front to cover up any desire for personal gain. God himself is our witness, and this is the case. We are not expecting praise from you, nor from anyone else. You see, encouragement isn't born out of soulish flattery. Yeah? It's born out of really the heart of God and the word of God. Out of the soul, because it's born out of the spirit. It's born out of life within us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And what I want you to see here, and I'm going to ask you to do something practical in a minute. In verse 8, so the first thing we see is the motive to encourage is always love, not soulish flattery. In verse 8, this is, for me, this in verse 8 captures everything about encouragement. Our love for you was so great that it was sheer joy for us not only to share the gospel with you, but also to make our own lives available to you. Now look at the words that he's using. This is the very evidence of how precious you are to us. I'm going to make this really, really, really simple. The glue that holds it all together is love. Yeah? The vehicle in which it happens is our relationships and friendships. But the words we use, the language we use, the words we use bring value and worth. Amen? They bring value and worth. So the background of everything, the whole motive behind what we do is love. It glues the whole thing together. But the actual outworking is in the whole mechanics of the relationships, the giving and sharing of life. But actually what we speak, you see, notice how they spoke? How much, how precious you are to us. You see, it wasn't just lip service. There was a genuine love. I'm going to ask you now, we're going to do something practical. I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to take probably about 5 minutes to do this. I want you to share with the person next to you how much you value them, how much you love them, and I want you to pray God's encouragement over them. Okay? So I want you to stand. It's really important. Do you remember, we don't want to be like Balaam, but we want to, for the person next to you, I'll come and find my wife in a minute. I want you to speak today of how much you value them and how much you love them. And what, you see, in our relationships, what we do and what we say is really important. And so let God come right now by His Holy Spirit, and let there be tremendous encouragement and tremendous healing as we, you know, because sometimes if we never say how much we value someone, we never encourage someone, yeah, let life begin to flow today. Let that flow and process of life. So you've got 5 minutes, you've got time together, and you can actually make this really real. Just speak of how much you love this person, how much you value them, and just pray for the person. If you don't know the person next to you, just pray for them and just thank them that God is, you know, get something from the Lord for them. Get a word of encouragement from the Lord. It's good when you can't stop encouragement, isn't it? Okay, everyone. Hello. Hello. Earth calling congregation. Earth calling congregation. Right. In verse 12. Verse 12 of 1 Thessalonians 2, we encouraged you and strengthened you, now listen to this, and urged you to live in ways that are worthy of God, who calls us to reveal His kingdom and His glory. In 1 Corinthians 1, 2, I've changed one phrase here, to the church in Horsham, to those who have been made holy in Christ Jesus, set apart by Him, for God and consecrated to His holy purposes. Since He has made you holy, you are called to be holy, together with all other believers in every place, those who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for He is their Lord and ours also. One of the most amazing ways that we can encourage each other, and this is really practical, every time that I meet with men, see, I encourage them to live in the calling that God has called them. I encourage each other to live out of their true identities of who they are in Christ. For, you know, if you've got someone going through some really tough stuff and they need to, you know, if they put on some dirty old rags again, dirty clothes, it's time to take off the grave clothes. It's time to take off it. You know, come on, you know, I'm always, all the time, it's not that I'm a walking concordance, because I'm not. I am in the Word, because we need to encourage each other with the Word. You know, and as Paul did there, you know, to the Corinthians, he said, come on, guys, you're holy, you're loved, you're accepted, you're righteous, this is who you are. And see, that's how we can really encourage one another. That's how we can do that. And at the end of that, it says, verse 13 says, because you received what we preached to you as God's word rather than our own words. We thank God continually for you. So now His word is at work in you because you believed. Jesus said in John 15, verse 7, if you continue in, if you continue to live at one with me, and my words continue to live in you. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. How can we encourage each other? We can receive tremendous encouragement from the word that we speak over our lives personally and that we speak over each other. Where is the word? Is it a million miles away? No. Deuteronomy, this is the Amplified, says, but the word is very near you. It's in your mouth, in your mind, and in your heart, so you can do it. Amen. It's in your mind, it's in your heart, so you can do it. We've done it this morning for 5 minutes, but we want to cultivate a lifestyle and a culture of speaking what is true over our lives. Speaking life over our lives. I didn't want to say, come in a jokey way and say about those scriptures that I came with first of all. I believe that for some people here today, things changing. Should we just stand, shall we? Father, we just thank you. Lord, in any way that we've spoken the wrong things over, we just ask for your forgiveness. We thank you, Father, that Father, in this culture, in the language that we talk to one another, in the friendships and the joining of each other, we want to have that culture of love, a culture of encouragement, a culture of speaking the truth, the culture of speaking life, Lord God. And Father, I thank you for your healing, Father, today for people. I thank you for your cleansing today. And Lord, I thank you that you make every one of us, Father, an ambassador of the truth, an ambassador of the gospel, an ambassador that speaks out your life over one another. In Jesus' wonderful, wonderful name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
Thanks, mate. Let's encourage Pastor Gary. It's a great word. Thanks, mate. Brilliant. You know, Gary constantly encourages people, and people like to be around people that are positive and that are encouraging. None of us want to be with people that are moaning and negative and just always have a bit of a thing going on in their lives. You know, if somebody's positive and encouraging, you want to be where they are, don't you? Because you walk away from that conversation or you walk away from spending time with them and you feel lifted, don't you? You feel built up. You feel like, wow, you know, and like Gary said, words add value, or they can detract or take away or devalue. And, you know, this week, what we want to do, just be really mindful as you live today and during the week, whatever context you're in, just be mindful. Before you speak, maybe just check, is this going to be positive? And is this going to add something into the situation, into somebody else's life? Or is this just going to be a bit of a moan, a bit of a negative, and all of that? And because negative words create a negative atmosphere, don't they? Positive words create a positive atmosphere. And we want to use the words, you know, the Word of God, because the Word of God builds up and strengthens. And what does the Bible say? The truth, the Word. God's word sets people free. So when we speak the word, when we speak God's word, the truth, that brings freedom and life into other people's lives. So let's be like that this week, eh? And be a blessing. So that when people have been with us, they, you know, you don't know what's in somebody's head, do you, when they walk away from you. But let's at least encourage people and so they want to come back into your life, into your home, whatever it is. So have a great week this week. Be blessed this week.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.